saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
By the time they actually drove out there, the story had been passed around so many times that no one in the car could have said where they first heard it. That was part of what made it easy to treat like entertainment instead of warning. In one version, something terrible had happened at the church years earlier. In another, the church itself had nothing to do with it, and the land was the problem. Some people swore the cemetery was where the activity centered, while others insisted the building reacted if you came too close to it after dark. Every version came with the same kind of confidence people always have when repeating something they never witnessed for themselves, and because the details never lined up, it all felt a little less real each time it was told. That was why no one objected when the conversation turned into a plan. There were four of them, all restless in the way people get when the night starts stretching out and there is nowhere in particular to go. It had started as a casual mention, then turned into one of those challenges that doesn't sound like a challenge because nobody wants to admit they're taking it seriously. Someone said they had never actually seen the place at night. Someone else said there was probably nothing to it. Another said that was exactly why they should go, if only to stop hearing about it from people who acted like the whole county revolved around an old church on a back road. She didn't believe anything was going to happen. That mattered later, mostly because she would keep going back to that point in her mind and trying to decide if things might have felt different if she had gone there already expecting them to. But at the time, none of that seemed important. It was just a drive, just a place people talked about, just something to do that gave the night a direction. The farther they got from the main road, the less familiar everything looked. It wasn't that the area felt remote exactly, but it had that stretched-out quiet certain roads seemed to collect after midnight, when even the houses that were there stopped feeling connected to each other. Their headlights cut through the dark in short, controlled swaths, catching trees, fence posts, and the pale edges of narrow ditches before everything slipped back into shadow. By then, most of the talking had shifted away from the legend itself and into regular conversation again, which somehow made the whole thing feel even less serious. The place they were headed to had already started to become just another stop rather than the point of the night. Then they saw the church. It was smaller than she expected, and that was the first thing that threw her. From the way people described it, she had imagined something larger, something that would stand apart from the road in a more dramatic way. Instead, it sat there with the plain, practical look of a building that had been part of the area longer than most of the stories attached to it. It didn't look abandoned, but it didn't look welcoming either. It simply looked old, steady, and self-contained, as if it had long since stopped caring what people thought of it. The cemetery beside it drew their attention almost immediately. That felt natural enough. In the dark, with the church itself quiet and closed, the headstones gave the place shape. They stepped out of the car and stood for a moment, letting their eyes adjust, and once they started walking, they moved instinctively toward the graves. There was nothing dramatic about them. Some markers were taller and easier to read. Others had softened with time until the names and dates barely held together in the light from their phones. It looked exactly like what it was, a burial ground that had been there a long time and had weathered accordingly. What surprised her most was how ordinary it felt. Not peaceful exactly, because the place still carried the stillness of somewhere set apart from normal life, but not tense either. If anything, the quiet around the church felt cleaner than the stories had prepared her for. No immediate chill ran through the group. No one stopped walking and said they felt watched. No strange sound moved through the trees. The air held steady. The ground beneath their shoes felt no different from anywhere else. If she hadn't known where they were, she could have mistaken the first several minutes for nothing more than a late-night wander through an old cemetery. One of the others said as much. The comment loosened everyone up. They laughed, spread out a little more, and started talking normally again. Somebody crouched beside a weathered headstone and tried to make out a date. Another wandered closer to the church wall and swept a phone light over the dark windows just to see what the inside might reveal. But there was too much reflection in the glass and too much darkness beyond it for anything useful to show. They stayed there longer than she expected, mostly because there was no reason not to leave and no reason to leave. The place wasn't giving them anything, but it also wasn't making anyone uncomfortable. It felt more and more like one of those local stories built out of repetition and boredom, something people kept alive because it gave the area character and gave teenagers somewhere to drive after dark. That was the attitude they had when they drifted closer to the church itself. She remembered later that it did not happen as one deliberate movement. Nobody announced they were going to test the place. No one said they should start provoking it. They just migrated that way, as conversations turned back toward the rumor, and the rumor turned back toward what people claimed would happen if you paid too much attention to it. There was something about going around the church, somebody said. Not in a solemn, respectful way. More like someone was repeating a rule from a game they didn't fully believe in. If you walked around it enough times, or if you stood close enough and asked the wrong thing, or if you acted like you weren't afraid, then sometimes the place reacted. The version changed in the retelling, even as it was being told, and that made it easier to laugh. She laughed too, and they all did. But once it was said, it became harder to just stand there and do nothing. One friend walked toward the front steps and looked back with that half-amused expression people wear when they're waiting to see if anyone else will admit they're curious. Another moved around one side of the building, not going all the way, just tracing part of the wall and shining a light across the windows as if there might be some visible reason the stories had lasted this long. Nothing happened. If anything, the church looked even more ordinary up close. Its siding showed its age. The windows reflected more of the group than they revealed of the inside. There was no sense of pressure or resistance, no immediate proof that they had stumbled onto anything other than a place people liked talking about because it sat out there looking old enough to hold a story. That should have been enough to end it. Instead, it did the opposite. The lack of reaction made them bolder because it confirmed what they had already been thinking. The place was probably nothing. The stories were probably stories. If they were already there and already wandering around in the dark, there was no harm in pushing a little harder just to prove the whole thing didn't mean anything. That was the moment that mattered, though none of them would have said so then. The atmosphere hadn't changed yet. The church still looked the same. The cemetery still sat in the dark without giving anything back. But the purpose of the visit had shifted. Up to that point, they had only been present. Now they were paying attention in a different way, directing that attention toward the building and waiting, whether they admitted it or not, to see if something might notice them in return. What changed first was not the church, but the tone around it. They stayed loose for another minute or two, still talking, still moving around casually, but the conversation had narrowed. Even the jokes now were aimed at the place itself. Someone asked, half laughing, if anything was actually there. Another followed with something more direct, referencing one of the uglier versions of the story they had all heard and dismissing it in the same breath. It was nothing dramatic, nothing shouted, but it was no longer the same as simply being there. They were addressing it now, however lightly. When nothing answered, that should have made everything feel smaller. Instead, it only seemed to encourage them. One of them walked farther around the church this time, not stopping at the corner. Another stepped up near the entrance, close enough to the door that the old wood and metal hardware were easy to see in the phone light. She stayed back several feet with the fourth person, more because she had no interest in climbing the steps than because she felt uneasy. But even from there, she could sense the shift in how the group was behaving. The place had stopped being scenery. It had become the thing they were measuring themselves against, even if the only thing they wanted from it was a reason to laugh at how much people had built it up. The silence settled so gradually that she didn't recognize it right away. Later, that was one of the details that bothered her most because it meant the change had started before anyone consciously noticed it. There had always been some amount of sound out there. Not much, but enough. The distant road, air moving through the trees, the scrape of shoes through the grass and gravel, their own voices. Then, little by little, it seemed as if the space around them was giving less back. The background noise thinned until their talking sounded oddly separate from everything else, as though the church and cemetery had become a kind of chamber around them. One of the others stopped mid-sentence and glanced into the dark. Someone laughed too quickly and said they were getting themselves worked up. The comment should have broken the tension, but it didn't. It only made the tension more noticeable because it confirmed that everyone had felt some version of it. She became aware of the church in a way she had not been before. That was the clearest way she could explain it afterward, though it still didn't feel exact. It wasn't a visual thing at first. She didn't see a shape in a window or movement near the roof line. It was more like the building had gone from being an object in the dark to being a presence within it. The sensation was subtle, almost easy to ignore, except that it kept concentrating in one direction and drawing her attention back every time she tried to shake it off. One friend said something else then, and this time there was less joking in it. The words themselves mattered less than the way they were said. Whoever spoke had crossed some invisible line between mocking the legend and challenging it. The group went still for a beat afterward. Not because anyone planned to, but because all of them were waiting without admitting that was what they were doing. Nothing visible happened, but the atmosphere did not relax. Instead, the sense of pressure she had been struggling to name seemed to shift location. It had felt tied to the church or maybe to the open dark around it. And then all at once, it didn't. It was closer. Not in front of them where everyone had been looking, but somewhere behind and to the side outside her direct line of sight. She turned immediately. There was nothing there. The stretch of ground beyond them lay open in the same dimness as before. The road was empty. No person stood near the cemetery fence. No animal darted through the grass. Nothing moved in a way that explained why she had been so certain the space beside them had changed. The certainty did not leave with the lack of evidence. If anything, that made it worse because now she could feel how close it seemed without being able to match it to anything real. She became suddenly aware of how exposed they were, standing out there in the open between the graves and the church, their phone lights cutting narrow lines through the dark without really claiming any of it. Then came the sound. It was faint, and if she had been alone, she might have doubted it. But she knew all four of them heard it because every face in the group turned toward the same side of the building at once. It did not sound like footsteps. It did not sound like an animal scrambling or a branch rubbing against wood. It was more like a drawn, uneven scrape from inside the church wall, brief and unmistakable, as if something had moved against the interior surface and stopped the instant it knew it had been noticed. No one spoke for a second or two afterward. The silence that followed was different from the one before. Before, it had felt like waiting. Now it felt like recognition. One friend backed down from the church steps without taking their eyes off the building. Another swept a light across the nearest window, but the beam only bounced back and revealed nothing beyond shifting reflections and darkness. She could feel her own breathing now, not because she was panicking, but because everything around them had become so still that even ordinary sounds felt disruptive. What unsettled her most was that the church itself still looked unchanged. If a door had moved or a figure had crossed one of the windows, the moment might somehow have made more sense. Instead, it remained exactly what it had been when they arrived, an old building holding itself in the dark. The reaction had not made the place more visible. It had only made it feel aware. someone finally said, "They should go." No one argued. They turned back toward the car, not running, but moving with enough urgency that the pace said what no one wanted to say aloud. The path across the cemetery felt longer on the way back, not because it had changed, but because now every step came with the instinct to look over a shoulder or listen for something following. She fought that urge the whole way, mostly because she didn't want to give the moment more power than it already had. By the time they reached the car, the adrenaline had thinned enough that explanations started trying to reassert themselves. Maybe there had been something inside after all. Maybe part of the building had shifted as the night cooled. Maybe they had all been primed by the story and the timing, and that made ordinary sounds feel heavier than they were. She almost accepted that. Then she opened the passenger door and glanced back. One of the church windows caught her attention, though she never fully understood why that one and not another. For a fraction of a second, something in the darkness behind the glass seemed to change position. Not a face, not a body, not anything clear enough to describe honestly later. It was simply movement where there should not have been movement, a pale shift in the black interior that vanished as soon as she tried to focus on it. She got into the car without saying anything. The others were already inside. No one asked if she had seen something, and she did not volunteer it. At that point, the silence between them was doing its own work. They did not need to compare notes to know the mood had changed. Whatever had happened at the church, it had happened only after they stopped treating the place like a story and started trying to force something out of it. That was the thought she kept returning to before they even reached the main road. Nothing had happened when they first arrived. Nothing had happened while they walked the cemetery and talked about everything else. It wasn't until they directed their attention at the place, challenged it, and waited for it to answer that something in the night shifted and answered them back. The drive back felt longer, mostly because everyone kept trying to act normal for a conversation or two and then letting it die again. At first, they did what people always do after something unsettles them in a way they don't want to admit. They tried to reduce it. One said the sound could have come from old boards contracting. Another suggested there might have been an animal trapped inside the church. Somebody else pointed out that old places sound different at night and that four people standing around daring something to happen were almost guaranteed to misread whatever they heard. Each explanation sounded fine until the next person left too much silence after it. That was the problem. Nothing they said was impossible, but none of it matched what the moment had felt like. The feeling had changed before the sound came. The silence had changed before that, and whatever she had seen in the window, if seeing was even the right word for it, had happened after they were already leaving, after the church had no reason to give them anything at all unless, for some reason, it wasn't done. They did not come to any agreement that night. By the time the car dropped everyone back where they needed to be, the story had already started hardening into something each of them would likely remember differently. But even then, even before time could distort it, there was one part they all seemed unwilling to challenge too much. Nothing had happened until they pushed. That stayed with her more than any sound or movement. If the place had felt wrong from the moment they arrived, she could have dismissed it more easily. People walk into a place with expectations and project those expectations onto everything they see. She knew that. If the church had seemed threatening the instant they got out of the car, then all the rest of it could have been built on nerves. But that wasn't what happened. For most of the visit, the place had given them nothing. It had sat there quietly and allowed them to reduce it to a local story people exaggerated because there was nothing else to do. Then they turned their attention toward it. Then they challenged it. Then, and only then, did the atmosphere change. She hasn't gone back. That isn't because she walked away certain the church is haunted in the way people like to say a place is haunted. And it isn't because she thinks every rumor she heard before that night was suddenly proven true. If anything, the experience left her less interested in the legend than in the mechanism of it. Stories people repeat for years take on lives of their own. They grow, shift, and collect details that probably never belonged to the original thing. But there is a difference between a legend existing around a place and a place reacting when people decide to test it. That difference is what unsettled her. It would be easier in some ways if she believed the church was simply active all the time. Easier if she could imagine it as a place that held the same tension whether anyone entered it or not. But that is not how it felt. It felt dormant. It felt left alone. And it felt, for one brief stretch of time, as if their attention had disturbed something that had been perfectly willing to let them leave untouched. They had only done the same in return, and that is why she has no interest in trying again. Not because she thinks whatever happened would necessarily repeat itself the same way, but because the one thing she is sure of is that it began when they stopped being observers and started becoming participants. Up until then, the church had remained only a building with stories attached to it. The moment they pushed at it, it stopped feeling passive. And that is enough for her. There are places people talk about because the stories are fun to tell, and there are places that feel older than the stories attached to them. She still does not know which one that church really is. She only knows that for most of one ordinary night, it gave them no reason to believe anything at all, and that was exactly what made the shift harder to forget. If something had been there all along, it had no interest in them until they made a point of trying to get its attention, and once they did, the feeling of being noticed in return was not something she ever wanted to test a second time.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now, so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.